All right. So back from Canada, and we had a good time. I just was reading about this Ferguson thing, and the Ferguson shooting of that kid. And it occurs to me that I shoplifted a bunch of shit when I was a kid, and I never got shot for it. Now, please don't take that to mean anything other than what you want it to mean, but I did. I shoplifted a ton of shit. I mean, I was a fucking thief. I was a goddamn thief. I never went to jail. I never got caught by the police. I never got talked to by the police, you know. Now, here's the thing. I had friends of mine that went to jail who were shoplifters, even after I tried to teach them how to shoplift properly. I did. I tried to teach my friends how to shoplift. At that time, I was a skinny little fucking run of a guy. I was about 130 pounds, maybe. Maybe 120 pounds. I was really skinny. I was a high school senior and junior, and I would steal shit. Oh, hold on. I got to fucking turn this motherfucker. I got to. I got to shut goddamn windows around here. I was a high school senior, and I stole like a motherfucker. A lot of the stuff I stole was food because I was, you know, hungry. But that I also stole cigarettes. I stole wine. I stole beer. I stole, I can't even remember what I stole, you know, batteries, you know, cigarette papers, all kinds of shit. I never, ever ran afoul of the police. I knew other kids that stole and shoplifted. I never heard of them running afoul of the cops, and I sure as shit never heard of them getting shot. I never heard of any kid getting shot for shoplifting. Never. Never read any story about it. And you know, you would be hearing of those things at that age. That kind of news travels in the same socioeconomic, or it certainly travels in the same demographic. You know, so if you're a kid and you hear about another kid getting shot, even if it's 5, 6, 7 towns over, or even if it's in another fucking state for shoplifting, somebody's going to goddamn well bring it to your attention if you haven't heard about it. But I never heard about it, you know. Let me see something here, man. I'm just double checking.
Good morning.
Is the video cast on? No, Alex, I apologize. Welcome to our video cast this morning, and I have said goodbye to our Listen Live listeners. Oh, sorry. I just turned it on now, Alex. Jesus, I turned a record stream on, is what happened, man. I didn't turn on the fucking, I turned the record stream on. I did not turn on the video cast. Welcome to our video cast this morning. Sorry about that. Even though we were live on our pre-show, so I probably ought to repeat a little bit of what I was saying for our Phil TV viewers. It's my first day back from vacation, guys, and I'll let you know about what happened on vacation.
Well, yes, that's what most of us really want to know about, Phil, because I don't think that we're all that hot-fired interest in your bullshit, in your stupid, idiotic antics as a teenager, thieving and lying and stealing. I'm Margaret Gray.
Well, that's a good point, Phil. You and your thieving ways.
Yes, Phil, you and your thieving ways. You and your thieving ways are the worst kind of thing.
Does this phone still work? Oh, it does. Shit, all vacation long we were out. Well, I want to tell you something about your thieving ways. Your lying, thieving, punk, bitch, son of a goddamn.
So, you know, and then I got a fucking dental appointment today at 3 o'clock. Jesus Christ. And then tomorrow I'm going to be doing an interview with my good, close, personal friend Alice Carbone for her blog, which I'm really a big fan of, and she's a great writer, and I'm really happy to be a part of that. That's great. And then that's it, I think, man. And then next weekend, I'm going to be celebrating my birthday a week early because the following weekend is Labor Day weekend, and we're going to take an extra day off for Labor Day as well. It's summer. What do you want from me, man? It's fucking summer. Don't you take fucking vacations? God damn. You know. Let's see what else. Okay, so I never got fucking shot. I didn't get talked to by a cop. I didn't get the only time cops pulled me over is if I was going too fast or, you know, weaving or some shit like that. That's the only time cops ever had anything to do with me. And I'm a big supporter of the police. I've been a big supporter of the police, much to my detriment, on places like Facebook, where the brain surgeons of America all meet every day and talk really smart about stuff. Which, by the way, Facebook is rolling out a satire tag because of all of the dumbasses. which this is a this is something that has been pioneered by this radio show. The acute use, the very sharp-edged use of satire. Right? Of course, satire should be sharp-edged. And now, every motherfucker's a comedian. Just as my close personal friend Morgan Murphy once said. Everyone's a comedian. No, really. Everyone is now a comedian. It's true. Everybody's trying to be funny. And with, you know, mixed results. The same results, only actually the worse results than the professionals. The professionals are funny, I'd say a good 75, 80% of the time. The amateurs are funny not even 5% of the time. So it's not quite the same. But I disagree. I think I see a lot of funny things. Well, I'm sure you do. And that's why they're rolling out the satire tag for you. You're looking at stuff and you think it's funny and it ain't supposed to be funny. Like the kid getting shot in Ferguson. There's about, you know, I don't know how many people out there going, oh, it's not a joke. So the satire tag's been rolled out. But anyway, make a long story short. I was never interdicted or dicted. Or dicked, or tooled, or fucked, or raped by cops. Weren't you lucky, Phil? I was lucky I had white skin. If you think I was rich, I wasn't. I was sleeping on a couch in my mother's apartment in my senior year. In my junior years, I shared a bed, shared a bedroom with my dad. He in one bed, me in another. My sister's in another bedroom. Because that, you know, worthless motherfucker couldn't afford, you know, an apartment with three bedrooms. I left my mother's apartment and lived with my dad and his rich wife for a summer back in, but his rich wife threw him out. So that's when we all wound up in that apartment. And then my mother had rented an apartment down on Fairview Avenue in Arcadia where she slept in the same bedroom, I think, with my sisters. No, actually, no. My sisters had a bedroom. My mom had a bedroom. I had a bedroom. My mother was able to work that out on the salary of a woman that took the bus to fucking work every day to downtown Los Angeles from Arcadia. I don't know how the fuck my mom afforded that. She got me an extra... little studio apartment that was right off of the main apartment that we had. My poor mom. You know, I was thinking, this whole trip to Canada just, it's blowing me away, man. I mean, this fucking trip to Canada is like, brings up so many things, man, about my dad and my mom and, you know, about the family on the, I was down at the beaches. I went down to the Bombay Beach Club. And, My eyeballs are rolling around here. You know, I'm thinking about shit. Went down to the Bombay Beach Club, and which is where my dad played football, and where my cousins were on the rugby team. My cousin Paul, as they call Paul Hank now. I don't know where the fuck that came from. And I asked Paul. I said, "Do you like Hank?" He says, "I like Hank." Well, what the fuck? What happened to Paul, man? Are you on the run from the cops? What's going on with you, man? And then it's also where my cousin Fran was on the canoeing team. She said she was a paddle girl, but, you know, no comment. And then the whole family kind of left the beach and is now suburban. You know, Fran and her husband Jim live out in Dundas. Elaine, I don't know, where do you live, Elaine? Elaine lives somewhere to the east of Toronto, and then Paul and his girlfriend, Shauna, live out at Port Ryerse, which is goddamn beautiful, man. They got a beautiful home there. Just fucking gorgeous, man. And it's not an expansive or big home, but it's like a log cabin that they have on a nice piece of land. Really beautiful. And this land is the land that was given to what were called the United Empire Loyalists. And these were people that left the United States after the Revolution because they were loyal to the king. And they didn't want to live in this land of you know, America with all of its weird shit and its new government and its crazy-ass, you know, people. And they split. Because they were loyal to the king, they were loyal to England, and they went north to Canada, and they were given land by this guy Ryerse. I think his name was Colonel Ryerse. Maybe he was the grantor of the land. It was granted by the king, and Colonel Ryerse, or General Ryerse, whichever, subdivided these plots of land for the people there in Port Ryerse, and that's where they lived. When you go out to this part of Ontario, which is the province of Ontario, you're no longer on Lake Ontario, you're on Lake Erie. So we drove, I'd say, about an hour and a half out of Toronto and got down to Port Ryerse, and it was now, you know, we'd passed Lake Ontario, we're now on Lake Erie, and really beautiful. And Shauna took us kind of on a little walking tour around the neighborhood, which is really awesome. We went into this fucking cemetery there, man, that is old. You imagine living in a neighborhood where the cemetery has graves from the 1840s, the 1830s. It would be like a history lesson for any of the people that live there. And it's remarkably unmolested. It's not been tagged. There's no vandalism evident. These are the graves, the headstones of people that passed on in that particular area. I don't know what that one graveyard represented. And there was a little church there. It's pretty much like, I would say it reminded me a little bit of maybe some of the foothill or mountain communities like Lake Arrowhead or even Big Bear, but you didn't have the mountains. You're just down at the, you know, you're in the flatlands pretty much at a lake, but it's a lot of cabins and cabin-type homes. And, boy, a bunch of Phil Henry fans came out of the woodwork. I couldn't fucking believe it, man. I'm sitting there in the garage of my cousin Paul, and we're sitting there, we're knocking back this homemade wine of his, which, Paul, I fucking forgot it. Elaine's got it. I forgot the wine, man, and my bottle of tequila, too. So, and I don't even know how easy it was going to be for me to get that goddamn wine back in this. I could have, but it had screw cap, and that leaks, and this, that. Anyway, Elaine's got it, and I'm coming back around Thanksgiving, and I'm going to have me, you know, a good time. Now, here's the thing that I want to start to figure out. I want to start doing some shows from the road. I don't want to... this is a podcast, a pretty easy thing to do. And I want to begin to remote from the road. So wherever we go, we're able to still do our podcast. Now, that's got to be a possibility. Live, as well as the podcast on tape. Or maybe it's something we can't do live. You know, Alex, if you're looking in this morning, let's figure this out for the next trip out of town, which is going to be around Thanksgiving. Because I want to go down to, I want to go to Toronto and go to American Thanksgiving at the Bombay Beach Club. I don't know what that's going to be like, but it ought to be pretty, you know, cool. And they apparently, Paul goes to the American Thanksgiving late in November. At the Bombay Beach Club there in the beach in Toronto. Now, I asked Fran, because she grew up there, so did Elaine and so did Paul. I said, is it called the beaches or is it the beach? She said, we call it the beach. The recent arrivals call it the beaches. So there's the difference. And that is taken from somebody who was there in the 50s was born in the late 40s and was, you know, the daughter of two people that were from that neighborhood for a long time. Because my mother and Fran's mother were sisters, and they grew up on Winneva and other places around there. Actually, they came from Brantford for a while, and then I don't know where half these places are, but I'm beginning to figure it out. So Fran says to me, that's called a beach. It ain't called the beaches. So anybody looking in from Toronto, I know we got some folks watching from Toronto, or listening, I should say, or watching. That's what I was told. So I don't know. You know, maybe there's a different explanation. But I'm going to take my cousin's word for it. Now, oh God. And I made the coffee.
Yes, you only have yourself to blame for that, Phil. You're the one who made the coffee. What are you looking at?
You're looking all at Phil and everything about the coffee.
Yes, and what does that mean? Oh, my God, you think I'm looking at his dick.
Hey. Boom, boom. All right. I've got to get some more news here, man. Hold on. Brewers impressively sweep Dodgers. How about that? Levi's Stadium welcomes 49ers for first time with few traffic jams, but there's a catch. Naturally. Levi's Stadium. Is this the new fucking Santa Clara? Is that what the new stadium is? Holy Christ. Maybe I should kill myself. Here's the new stadium. I don't know. So it's in Santa Clara. And I'm not exactly sure where Santa Clara is, but I do know that there's a Santa Clara. I know it's in the Bay Area. I just don't, you know, I can't place it, man, to be honest with you. These are fans leaving in the fourth quarter of the game. What, was it a rout or what's the story? But with one big incomplete mark. While there were scattered reports that the Heralded Stadium cell phone app was buggy, concession lines were long and it was hard for some fans to find their parking spot. The traffic and train lines, the biggest concerns for most fans, were mostly smooth before and after the game. Here's the caveat. The awful 49er performance on the field, losing 34-0 to the Denver Broncos, 80-degree heat and lack of excitement from a preseason game drove most of the 68,000 fans in attendance to the exits. Oh, would you give me a fucking break? Here's the caveat. A shitty team? Well, that's going to happen. There was an hour-long wait for fans to board trains and get out of parking lots 2 weeks prior when all 49,000 left at once after a soccer match on August 2nd that served as a warm-up for Sunday's game. That's interesting. So what they're basically saying is that the stadium, it could be a real clusterfuck getting out of this ballpark, the new 49er stadium. And people asked me, a million times in Toronto last week, who's your favorite NFL team? NFL's big in Canada. It's very big in Canada. The CFL is very marginal in Canada, as you might imagine. No one gives that much of a fuck. I didn't talk to anybody that's really... Although my cousin Paul is... he's a great guy. I love Paul because he goes his own way. You know, he's a guy that just, you know... I'll do whatever the fuck I want to do here, man. I'm going to talk the way I want to talk. And he says to me, I think the Grey Cup is every bit as exciting as the Super Bowl. Fuck it, you know. I said, cool, you know. So,
I don't know.
Oh, that's the other thing. I'm thinking of hosting a Grey Cup game, a Grey Cup poker game. So maybe I won't be in Canada for the Grey Cup. I don't know. Anyway, here's some more pictures from the game letting out. I don't know. This is a guy that San Francisco 49er fans wait for the next VTA light rail train at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. These are people waiting for the train. That's a lot of fucking people. After the first home preseason NFL game against the Denver Broncos on Sunday. Meanwhile, those people are getting out in the cars really easy. It was Ryan O'Donnell, age 12, of San Jose, waits for the Winchester right light rail train at Levi's Stadium, Santa Clara, California, after the first preseason game. See additional gallery images here. People buying shit. Look at this. The crowd leaves Levi's Stadium at the end of the San Francisco 49er Denver Bronco game. Look at the bridge. Is that an amusement park there? Look at that. This looks like a roller coaster. What exactly do we... Here's the train. And look at the crowds. Fans queuing up along Tasman Drive to catch a VTA train. It's a lot of fucking people waiting on these trains. You better get the fucking trains rolling a little bit faster, folks. I hate to be a, you know, this is a real pet peeve of mine. And I know it is of a lot of other people. Get your shit together over there. Because, you know, it's not acceptable. You think it is. If you're a public official, you probably think standing in a crowd like that is better than, you know, something else. Well, it beats this, that, or something else, right? I got news for you, Jack. No, it doesn't. Get your shit, get this stuff worked out. This is not a good situation. It's hot as fuck. There's a lot of fucking people there. People are going to begin to use their cars. And your light rail, which costs I don't know how much money, nobody's going to want to roll with, you know. Here's everybody leaving the game here. You know, what the hell? We'll see if... Now, this is the car park? The fairways might be a little bumpy Monday at Santa Clara Golf after it was converted to a parking lot for Levi's... What the fuck? What are you converting the goddamn golf course? That they do that at the Rose Bowl. They do that at the Rose Bowl. Brookside is turned into a fucking parking lot, but they've always done that. That's just, they don't give a flying, they don't give that much of a fuck about Brookside that they want to keep the fairway just groovy, you know. There's, fuck that. That's beautiful. There's the stadium, the interior of the stadium. I like that. I like ballparks. I like looking at ballparks. I like the way ballparks are designed. I like non-concentric ball, all that good shit that we all love about ballparks. Parks that each ballpark should be like a golf course. It should have its own, you know, hazards and its own features that, you know, make it unique. You don't want to, I don't think artificially incorporating those kinds of things are necessarily, here's all the luxury boxes. That's where the park is. I bet you that's hotter than a motherfucker there. Look at that. But if you're one of the wealthy, you sit in the shade. But if you're poor, you cook and roast.
So that's how they do it. Look at how the poor people here, Phil, are roasting like animals. God, oh God.
Did we get the 49er story? We did not. Oh, you fucking whore. Give me the fucking story. I want the pictures, man. I don't want that. 49er fan dies after collapsing at Levi's opener. That's great news. Maybe I should kill myself. Blame it on my ADD. Bye-bye. God, I can't wait for the comments, right? I don't even read comments anymore. I can't take the stupid. I cannot take the fucking stupid. So I don't read the comments section of anything. Not even Facebook sometimes. I hate to admit it, but I don't. I just, you know, I don't even want to. Just, I figure it's enough to let people sound off, you know? Maybe I'm saying something I shouldn't say, but... I do read the comments, you know? I mean, but it sometimes it's a little too much for me. If you look over here, I don't know if you can see this. No, you can't see it, but I have a... Actually, I have a stand here, man. I've now got a stand, and I really don't know how well this is going to work. And I say that with all due respect to my close personal friend, Alex Cohen, but it's a little... it's kind of weird, man. Maybe it'll be cool. And I have here... These are magnets. Dig it. So, open up the magnets and that keeps the thing rock and rolling. But so we're on two different things here, the Ferguson thing.
Yes, I think you should bring up the Ferguson thing.
No, Jesus Christ, don't do that. Don't bring up that Ferguson, Henry. You want to keep this light and lilting.
Yeah, you want to keep that podcast light.
Yeah, I mean, as much as that thing. Well, I will say the one thing about I never got shot when I was shoplifting. I think that's pretty, I think when you personalize it, you know.
What do you mean you never got shot? Let me tell you something. If I saw you stealing something out of my store, I would go after you with both
dicks.
What do you mean, both dicks?
You're an idiot.
You know something, Dickman? That it takes balls of iron, not steel, but pure iron, just melted right there in the W.A. Clark. Oh, fuck it.
W.A. Clark. I'm reading about W.A. Clark, who is the. He was the father of. W.A. Clark was the father of Huguette Clark, the wealthy woman who I believe was the benefactor of John Edwards. Am I right about that? I don't know. There's a very interesting piece of film footage here that is actually pretty amusing, although there was a lot of really bad times that attended the fall of Singapore in World War II. But it's kind of funny because the Japanese had basically forced the surrender of the British at Singapore. Okay. But the British sat down at the surrender table to negotiate the terms of surrender. And the Japanese guy kept saying, basically, look, we've kicked your ass. You will sign or I will attack. And the British were saying, well, yes, no, that's done. That's quite true. But just we wanted to iron out some of the details. Well, what details, you know? And it was almost like something out of a fucking I Love Lucy. You know, the guys, this guy is sitting there, and you look at the Japanese guy's eyes are getting wider and wider. He's going, no, you will sign because you are defeated. The British are defeated here. Singapore. Yes, yes, yes. Now, good show. Johnny, good show. We are defeated. We're beaten. You laid waste to us. Can we ask a couple of questions? Well, what do you want to ask? Well, I notice here, now, the private quarters for the officers, and they drove this fucking guy crazy. It's funny to watch, because he's all just with, the what? What do you mean the private quarters? But the guy, fucking insane, so... 2 minutes away from the beginning here of this just illustrious motherfucker of a show. So years later, they're now interviewing some of the surviving officers of the Japanese army that were there. And they're now just like, I mean, you know, I got to hand it to them. It was pretty fucking funny. They were like laughing at this thing as they watched it happen. Even though the Japanese in Singapore and elsewhere were murdering pieces of shit, let's not forget, all of the same, good show. SummerSlam 2014, Brock Lesnar decimates, oh, this was WWE, yeah, we don't care, Johnny, so win Cleveland starting job, Monday Night Football, Johnny Manziel, is that his name? Shark expert throws first pitch at Fort Myers Miracle doubleheader. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Astronauts conduct spacewalk outside space station. That's kind of cool. We always love our space news here on the Phil Haney Show. All right. One, two. Well, I'm back in black, baby. I'm not back in black. I'm back from the thing. And we're about ready to rock this bitch. So hold your fucking... Hold on to your ass here, man. All right. Jesus. Hold on. Hold your motherfucking phone, man. I'm ready to go here. Test, 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 test. I got to get this thing cranked on. Good morning. Welcome to our podcast here, back from vacation, world famous Phil Hendry Show.